I meet Tammy Lyle in the parking lot of a Motel 6 across from the airport in Richmond. We're a few yards away from the room where her son is winding down after a day of virtual elementary school. The family has lived here for weeks. They have two beds, one bathroom, no kitchen, and the rent isn't cheap.
It's more than everybody's rent. Yeah, almost everybody anyway. Yeah, it's over $1,200 a month.
When schools closed in the spring, she had to quit her job to take care of her son.
It's kind of hard because you can't go back to work because somebody got to be, you know, present, and it's just me. So that me being a single mom, I have to stay with him, and, you know, I applied for unemployment and stuff like that, but it only go but so far.
While Lyle scraped by, lawmakers were gathering for a special session. Bills that would have helped many living in motels during the pandemic didn't make it far, and folks like Lyle are not eligible for the state's rental assistance program.
They have no protection. They can't qualify for the rent and mortgage relief until they've been there more than 90 days.
Christy Mara is with the Virginia Poverty Law Center. Advocates like her were hoping for more than what legislators have delivered so far. Take, for instance, their action on evictions.
To be clear, this is not an eviction moratorium. It is additional protections for people who can't pay their rent because of the pandemic. But it doesn't go far enough.
The adopted budget includes lengthy language outlining a series of steps landlords and tenants have to take before an eviction can happen during the current state of emergency. It has yet to be signed by Governor Northam, and the rules are different for 2020 and 2021.
This is a complicated process.
Mara says anyone who's late on rent and knows they can't pay should contact legal aid as soon as possible. And while she says lawmakers need to do more on evictions, Brian Gordon says they've gone a little too far. He represents the Apartment and Office Building Association in Virginia. He says a ban on evictions for non-payment through the end of the year doesn't help anyone.
Obviously, it doesn't work to the benefit of the housing provider, but the tenant also continues building a deeper financial hole out of which they may not be able to emerge.
Lawmakers also adopted other housing bills, like one outlining payment plans for tenants and landlords. Gordon says many in the industry have already been making these kinds of arrangements. The new rules, combined with existing protections and resources, can help stem a wave of evictions, Gordon says.
There are multiple resources available to a tenant that sort of slow down that process.
There are also attorneys like Elaine Poon at the Legal Aid Justice Center, where employees are working overtime to help those who haven't found relief. Usually, Poon focuses on housing policy.
That's my, like, normal day-to-day, but because of the pandemic, I have actually picked up actual eviction cases.
For months, she's watched pre-existing income and racial wealth gaps widen.
It comes from events like this, where we leave people behind, and then it lasts for sometimes decades.
Since Tammy Lyle and I first spoke, she's still living at the Motel 6 with her son. She was able to find care for him during the day so she could return to her job at 7-Eleven, but she's still ineligible for rental assistance. And things are still tight. In Richmond, I'm Kat Maudlin-Jackson.